Today, we'll have Laura's March trip with a newborn. That's coming up on this episode 170 of WW Prep to Go. Hello and welcome to WW Prep to Go, where we talk strategy and ideas for people planning their Disney World trips. I am your host, Shannon Albert from WDWPrepSchool.com and Prep School Travel. Thank you so much for being here for episode 170. Today's episode is another trip report. This time it's with Laura, who just got back from a stay at Disney World with her, I believe it was a seven-year-old and a newborn. And what I appreciate most about Laura's approach to this is that I feel like she has a teaching spirit, you know, people that experience things and then try to figure out the best way to convey that information to other people to help them with their trips. And I think that that is how she kind of approached this trip report, which I really appreciate. So we'll get to that in just a minute. As always, just a reminder to follow along on social media. You pick the platform and search for WW Prep School and you will find me there. I have mentioned in previous episodes that we have booked out most people for the rest of the year for trip reports, but we are continuing to go through those and set up interviews for future episodes. But the good thing is that we are bringing more and more of those now, getting those as part of our sort of normal processes and schedules. And so hopefully you'll have at least one or two per month to listen to. So as usual, I will have a quick tip of the day after the main part of the show today. So stay tuned for that. Without any further ado, here is Laura.
Welcome to the podcast, Laura.
Thanks for having me.
I'm excited to talk to you about your trip. We are talking for this first part of your interview on March 4th. And what are your trip dates?
We are leaving this coming Saturday, so it'll be March 10th through the 18th.
And who is we? Who's going on this trip with you?
So this is going to be our family of four. It's going to be myself and my husband, our seven-year-old son, and our three-month-old daughter.
Three-month-old.
Yes. It's a little bit of a funny story real quick. Our son, when we were pregnant last year, we had agreed to take him on one last outing, just the three of us, and he wanted to go to see the Christmas stuff at Disney World. And so we went the very first week it opened in November. I was 35 weeks pregnant and went into labor at Disney World. So we rushed back to Tampa, gave birth, and that same day he asked me, can we go back to Disney World? So this is kind of a makeup trip for him. We normally wouldn't be doing this.
Wow. You went into labor at Disney World.
Yes, at Animal Kingdom.
Amazing. Wow. And you thought you had 5 weeks to go.
Exactly.
You did not have that kind of time.
No. So our poor son was a real trooper about everything, but, you know, his heart was a little bit broken leaving so early. So his spring break is coming up, and so we're going to do this.
Yeah, okay, so that was going to be my next question was, how did you choose these dates? And sounds like spring break was the reason.
Yeah, now that he's in school, we're a little bit more regimented on our vacation times.
And where are you guys staying on this trip?
We're going to be staying at the Contemporary Resort.
Oh, that's a good one. Have you been there before?
Just briefly, going through, doing Chef Mickey's once before. So
now you get to actually stay there. Mm-hmm. Where did you stay on your last trip when you went into labor?
Pop Century Resort.
Well, that's going to be a big difference.
Yes, most definitely. We figured with an infant, anything we can do to make things easier for us would definitely be a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And you can't beat the, walk to Magic Kingdom. So
exactly.
That'll be good. Okay, so let's start getting into some of the details of your plans. Since you are staying close to Magic Kingdom, did you plan your 8-day trip to include a lot of Magic Kingdom time? How did you allocate your days?
Yeah, so what we're doing is a little bit different, but we're trying to be scheduled but flexible, if that makes sense. So we have passes, so we're not as confined with our days. So what we've done is we've planned out 2 days at Magic Kingdom and then a day at each of the other parks. And then that gives us a little extra wiggle room if things go terribly awry that, you know, we can reschedule for a different day because we'll have a couple free days to play with.
Yeah, so I've always liked that idea, but I think with Disney requiring you to book fast passes ahead of time, or at least it's a good idea, it makes it harder to leave those days open. But
It most definitely does. The only good thing is our son and my husband are not real big on thrill rides. I'm the only roller coaster junkie. So a lot of the rides that my son enjoys doing aren't quite as in demand. So it gives us a little bit more flexibility.
Yeah, I suppose if you aren't scrambling for one of the difficult fast passes, that does make it a
Exactly.
lot easier. Okay, so 2 days at Magic Kingdom, one at the others, and then you'll adjust as necessary when you get there. Do you guys have the dining plan for this trip?
Yes, for the first time, we decided to go ahead and book that. So we're doing the regular dining plan.
Okay. I am taking notes as we talk, so I'll be sure to ask you afterwards how that went and if
Okay.
you thought it was worth it, because some people do, some people don't. So,
Yeah, financially, I'm not so sure, but I'll tell you, everything about this trip is about convenience for me. So I just figured having it paid for or just dealing with tips, it'd be just one less thing for me to worry about.
Yeah, and I think that is the biggest selling point of the dining plan is once you're there, you don't have to think about the money as so much. But in let's get into dining a little bit more.
Sure.
What kind of reservations have you planned?
We're a little bit heavy on the character meals. So at this point, at Epcot, we have the Garden Grill booked. Animal Kingdom, we're doing Rainforest Cafe. Let's see here, we're doing a Chef Mickey's for breakfast. Hollywood Studios, we're doing Hollywood and Vine Fantasmic package. And we're doing Crystal Palace at Magic Kingdom. And then on Saturday morning, we have breakfast at Ohana reserved.
Okay, so you're definitely taking advantage of having Chef Mickey's in there in your hotel, and then Ohana's not too far away, and then you've got some in the parks. So that is several character meals, but he's seven.
Exactly. We figure we're not going to get to do this for too much longer with him, so.
That's right. By the time he's 10 or 12, it may not be so appealing.
Exactly.
So that's a table service a day roughly, that which makes sense. You mentioned, I want to talk about park touring a little bit because you mentioned
Sure.
that you are the only one that cares about thrill rides, so that fast passes weren't as difficult. But are you still planning to ride those rides or just gonna hold off this trip?
I still am. We're trying to leave it to see what happens as far as the baby goes, but I know especially some of the ones that have the single rider lines, we're gonna try to see if my husband can watch the kids and I can jump on. So Expedition Everest is one of my favorites. I can usually get onto that pretty quick. So I'm mainly gonna be doing that. As far as the fast passes, we just did those all as a family.
Okay, yeah. So you'll just try to fit in your thriller rides if you can.
Exactly.
And because you weren't getting a lot of those bigger rides when you booked fast passes, did you have any difficulty booking them?
No, we lucked out. My agent had reminded me and asked me if she wanted me to book them for me, and I said no, I'll do that. But with the reminder and having a baby that's up all hours of the night anyway, it was no problem to log on at 60 days. Really, the only one that we thought might be a little bit of a problem was the Navi River Journey and Pandora, but it was fine. So we got everything we wanted.
Good. I know from talking to lots of people that that is often the most stressful part of the whole process, but sounds like it went well for you. Are you guys doing Memory Maker on this trip?
Yes, we are. I figure it's just one more convenient factor thing to not have to worry about.
Yeah. And you can guarantee that you'll be in a few of those pictures at least.
Yeah, that'll be a nice change.
Yes, exactly. Did you say you live in Tampa?
Yes, we live about an hour north of Tampa.
Okay, so the question of if you're driving or flying is pretty obvious.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd be brave enough to do it if we were flying, but driving, yeah, it's doable.
Since you're so close, have you ever considered having an annual pass so you could go frequently?
Yeah, and we do. We have the pass holder. That's how we have, the flexibility with our schedule. Yeah, we get over a couple times a year. Usually, if we can do a couple long weekends here and there, we'll do that.
Okay, so you do have annual passes. Okay, and the reason, one thing that's interesting about that is that you have the dining plan. But you have annual passes. So I'm assuming you add the dining plan to your room only reservation.
Yeah, so that was interesting. I've always thought the dining plan appealed, like I said, just because of the convenience factor. And I've always booked online and it was never an option. But this time I went through a travel agent who's a running buddy of mine. And she asked if I wanted to add it on. I guess she had the ability to do it. So they were able to get that hooked up and onto my Disney Experience app. So we're pretty excited about that.
Yeah, if you do want the Disney dining plan, but not the tickets, you can call it in. Like if you book it yourself, you can call
in.
Or if you book through an agent, the agent can do it for you.
Okay.
Yeah, that's one reason I wanted to mention it because it's kind of a special circumstance that a lot of people don't know about.
Yeah, I had no idea it was even an option, so that's pretty cool.
Yay, good. Well, I'm glad that you mentioned that then. In the category of extra magic, which I think is the most fun part of the planning process, is there anything that we haven't mentioned? You have lots of special meals planned and things, but is there anything that you're planning to do that we haven't talked about yet?
Yeah, there's one thing, and we're going to see how it works, but the morning that we check out, actually, Saturday the 18th, they're doing that early morning breakfast at Magic Kingdom. So we're going to go ahead and do that. I figured it would be a nice little cherry on top to the vacation, if you will, and
wait,
get us
do
in.
Do you mean early morning magic?
I believe so. It's where the, what did they say? The three rides, Peter Pan, Seven Dwarfs,
right,
and Winnie the Pooh are open. Yes, that's it.
Yes, 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 yes. Okay, so you're doing early morning magic, which allows you to ride the three rides you mentioned, plus have breakfast at Pinocchio Village House.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's the 18th, your final morning?
Yeah, I figure that'd be a nice end to it. Then, you know, we'll get out of the park as, you know, it starts getting hectic and just head straight back to the hotel and check out.
Does your son like Seven Dwarfs Mine Train?
He's never done it before. He's telling me that he's coming with me this time, so I'm going to hold him to that.
Because that's the biggest appeal of early morning magic, is the
kids
that like it get a thrill out of just going on it over and over and over and over again, and there's kind of no limit. You can do it 10, 12 times if you wanted to.
Yes, I'm crossing my fingers on that.
Yes, that hopefully he will, because that'll really make you feel like it was worth it. So
exactly.
I'll look forward to hearing how it went when you get back. So is there anything else we haven't talked about?
I don't think so. Our biggest thing is just trying to figure out, you know, how this is all going to work, you know, with a infant that, you know, can't sit up or do anything like that. So we're trying to do a little bit of pre-planning, you know, as far as the stuff that we're bringing into the parks for her, calling ahead to restaurants, because even things like high chairs. You know, I Googled and found out there's a couple restaurants that do have, you know, reclining high chairs for infants. So just trying to figure out all that kind of stuff. So.
Yeah. And I'm going to make a note to actually ask you afterwards about that, because 3 months old is obviously pretty young. And so it'll be interesting to see how you're able to work with that.
Absolutely. We're trying to keep the, you know, the mindset that this vacation, and we've explained it to our son, and, you know, he appears to understand it's not going to be like most vacations. It's going to, you know, require a little bit of flexibility, but, you know, it's just going to be nice to have a solid uninterrupted week as a family, you know, to kind of get used to that. So we're looking forward to it.
Yeah. Your kids are exactly the same age difference as mine. So it is interesting, since most people seem like they have their kids closer together, but you have to plan for two totally different kinds of kids.
Yeah. And trying to mesh, that's going to be a learning experience.
It is. Well, thank you for taking the time today, and I can't wait to talk to you when you get back. So I hope you have a good trip.
That's good. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thanks, Laura.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome back from your trip, Laura.
Thank you so much.
So your trip dates, as you told us beforehand, were March 10th to the 18th, and I'm talking to you on the 21st. So you've had a few days back home. How's it been since you've been back home?
Still in the process of unpacking and getting back to normal, but it's been good.
And what did you think about those dates in terms? I mean, you live there, so you're used to it. But how did the weather and crowds work out for you?
The crowds, the first half of the week were okay, you know, is about what I was expecting for spring break. Towards the last half of the week, it really started picking up in volume. You could tell there were a ton of people coming in. And so there was that. With our son's school schedule, you know, we don't have a whole lot of flexibility there anymore. And then as far as the weather, it actually, of all things, turned pretty cold, at least for us Floridians, it was cold. You know, I actually had a sunburn going into the week, you know, just from living down here. We had had some intense heat, record-setting heat. So we were really planning on a lot of pool days, you know, and that really didn't happen. So got down in the 40s and it was pretty chilly, but it was nice during the days.
Yeah, this is the time of year where it can be chilly or it can be really hot. It kind of everything transitions, it seems like, in March. And
absolutely.
By the end, it'll be hot for everybody.
For a long time. Yep. Yeah.
All right. So you stayed at the Contemporary Resort. How did mm-hmm. your family like that?
We loved it. We had, you know, three resorts that we were looking at trying to make a decision on. And I feel like we did the right thing with the Contemporary. The room having a little bit of extra square footage in the deluxe made a big difference, especially with the baby and all of her trappings. And then the location on the Monorail Loop, you just couldn't beat it. So it was great.
And you can walk to Magic Kingdom if you want.
Yes, and we definitely took advantage of that. And it was nice, too. You know, my son, when our baby needed to stay put and have some quiet time, you know, we could just walk him over there and do a little bit. So that came in handy. We got a garden view room, I think is what it's called, mm-hmm. not on the main tower. And I actually loved it. I think I probably preferred it to even if we would have stayed in the tower. I had done a lot of looking online and saw, you know, basically what the layout was and suggestions. And there was an area that I was really looking at. And I'd read some people had faxed requests to the hotel, to the resort for a specific room area. And I figured, I've got the time. Why not do it? So the Tuesday before the trip, we checked in on a Saturday. The Tuesday before, I faxed a request in and said, you know, there's a room 6118. I'd like to request it or something around it if possible. And, yeah, when we checked in, we got 6119. You can't beat that, but it was nice. We were right on the water, and it was a 3-minute walk, you know, to the lobby, so you couldn't beat that. And it was lovely, just, you know, the view of the water and being able to watch the electrical water pageant every night. So we loved it.
And they're less expensive than the ones in the main building.
Yes. So you couldn't beat that.
Yeah. So if anyone's unfamiliar with the Contemporary Resort and how it's laid out, the main building where the monorail goes through is more expensive, but you have the benefit of having stuff right in the building. But where Laura stayed was like a satellite building. And so, as you said, there was a 3-minute walk to get to the main building, which isn't too bad.
No, I didn't think so at all. And, you know, we took the shortcut, you know, walking, but there was also a covered option to get to the lobby. So, you know, if it had been raining or inclement, we still would have been okay.
Yeah, that is nice. A lot of people don't realize how many of the resorts are separate buildings, and you do end up walking outside a lot. So if there is a covering, that's a perk.
It helped.
Okay, so let's get into how the day-to-day part of your trip went. And let's talk about some of the parks, because you said you were planning to do 2 Magic Kingdom and 1 at the other parks. So where did mm-hmm. you go on your first day?
So on check-in day, once again, the whole flexibility with the infant thing came into play. So we had plans Saturday after checking in. We're going to check in early, head over to Magic Kingdom for a couple hours, and then we had a Chef Mickey's reservation. So what actually happened was we checked in probably about 1:30, and we didn't expect the room to be ready. But they said, you know, no, check-in's 3. It's still not ready. We'll go ahead and text you. So at that point, my son was excited to be at the hotel and walking around the lobby. So we ended up spending about an hour just walking around inside, and then figured, well, at this point, we might as well just stay put and, you know, check in at 3, hopefully get maybe our daughter a little bit of a nap, and then go to Chef Mickey's. Chef Mickey's was at 6:45. So 3 came by, and 3:30, and 4, and 4:30, and nothing. And, you know, we didn't want to be a bother to anybody. So finally, it was 5:15, and I was like, okay, I need to find out what's going on. So I got in the registration line again, and there had been some sort of mistake, and they had never paged or called us about it. So You know, she apologized, but we got our room. So that kind of threw our afternoon plans a little bit. And I bring that up also just to recommend, you know, don't sit back like we did. You know, it's worth it to go up and ask if there was a mistake, because
yeah,
clearly we could have been in the room. So
I totally agree with you. And in my December trip, I had a similar situation where we weren't being texted the number and had to get some cast members to help us, and they got it resolved. So yes, definitely speak up. So you had a little delay getting checked in, and then you went to your room and then had dinner at Chef Mickey's that night.
Yep. So we went into Chef Mickey's. That was at 6:45. We were a little nervous, you know, first time taking our daughter into a restaurant. But Chef Mickey's ended up being perfect because they had these infant high chairs. And I know this probably doesn't sound like a big deal, but it is for us. Our daughter's so small, she's still not sitting up on her own unassisted. So regular high chairs weren't going to do the trick. Well, they had kind of a reclined, cushioned high chair for infants. So it worked out perfect. So we got there, got our little family picture, got to the table. By that point, it's probably a little after 7. And we got her tucked into the chair and she fell fast asleep. So that was really nice for us to, you know, have that time with our son to concentrate on him. And the characters. He is a diehard Pluto fan, so it was like seeing a rock star when Pluto came to the table. So yeah, that worked out good.
And so has he always been okay with characters? So that was not something he hasn't. But this time he was.
Yes. Thank goodness he's 7 now. We took him at 2 and at 3, I believe, and I had grand visions of all the beautiful pictures we're going to take, and he was terrified of the characters. So it was super fun for me now, you know, to be at a point where he loved interacting with them. He went running up to each one of them, hugging them immediately. So made me happy.
Yeah. Well, that's a nice way to start your trip.
Definitely.
So was dinner kind of the end of your first day?
Yeah, it was. It was after 8 by the time we got done with that, and it had been a busy day just kind of getting everybody transitioned in. So we went back to the room and then got the kids taken care of, and then my son and I stayed up a little after 10. They did the little electrical water pageant, and it was cute. It was a very cute thing, and it ended up being right in front of our room, so we were able to sit out on our patio. Oh, that was the other thing, we're on the first floor. And I would really recommend that if anybody's staying in the garden wing at Contemporary, because the first floor has a patio with 2 chairs and a little table outside, which was really lovely. So we were able to sit out there and watch that little parade, and that was kind of the end of the first day.
Yeah, that is nice when the hotels have a view of something, so that when you go back for the night, you don't feel like you're just stuck staring at the walls.
Yes, and that was important to me, especially with a baby. I figured there was going to be some room time for me, especially, so it was nice to have this beautiful view outside.
Yep, I think that's smart that you thought about that. Okay, so the next day was probably your first park day, right?
Yep, so the first day was Magic Kingdom for us.
Were you there before park opening, or how did the schedule lay out?
No, so we did this completely different this time. Just to kind of explain the dynamics of my family, neither my son nor my husband are particularly morning people. And so when it was just the 3 of us, anytime we would go on vacation, it was always me just kind of poking and prodding them to get them out the door. So I thought this time to have to poke and prod them, plus, you know, wrangle a small baby, I just didn't have the stomach for it. So what I did was planned the earliest I had a fast pass or any activity the entire week was at 10:30, which sounds a little crazy. But again, I'm the only one that does roller coasters. There were really no huge rides, you know, that we wanted to have that we'd have to worry about getting. So it worked out for us. So we, you know, got up, got breakfast, got the baby taken care of, got her a little early nap, and then, you know, would take off around 10 every morning. So it worked out good.
Yeah. I mean, it's your trip, so you should plan it based on what your family is comfortable with. But I have to say, this is one of the perks to the FastPass Plus system, is that you can book them based on what your schedule is, you know?
Most definitely.
So you arrived mid-morning.
Yeah, and so this time we took the monorail over just because my son wanted to ride on the monorail. That's an attraction in of itself for him. So yeah, we got there And we immediately headed over to Tomorrowland. We had the Buzz Lightyear Space Ranger spin. That was his big thing he wanted to do. So we did that and then saw Buzz afterwards and got pictures and autographs. So that went well. Did the People Mover ride, of course, through there. Looked through some shops, and then that brought us right up to lunchtime. We had a reservation at the Liberty Tree Tavern, I believe it's called. So we went in there for that, and that was actually delicious food. That's something I would definitely repeat again. So
it is. It's kind of underrated, I think. I love that place.
Yeah. I wish I had tried it before. So yeah, we'll definitely be back for that. They did their high chair system, not so much. But they did allow us to bring our stroller in, so that helped. So that's how we kind of wrangled her through that meal.
Yeah.
And then after that, we kind of went through Fantasyland, figured we'd get the most bang for our buck there. Small World, of course, the Carousel, Little Mermaid, that kind of stuff. So that took us up to the parade. And then what we thought we had a good idea, but obviously we weren't the only ones. So we, set up for the parade, right kind of where Liberty Square goes into Frontierland, and watched that. And that was lovely. And then our last plan after that was, we had a fast pass to Haunted Mansion. So when the parade was over, we went to the fast pass, and the fast pass line at that point went back beyond the Columbia Harbor House.
Wow.
It was insane. I've never in my life seen it like that. So we kind of decided at that point, let's go ahead and call it a day. As far as fast passes, we went to try to rebook that fast pass for a different attraction, and there wasn't anything available, within the next 2 hours that we wanted to do. So we looked through some shops. My son wanted a couple toys, and then by 4 o'clock, I think we were walking back out of there for the day. And we felt good doing that because we knew we had another day scheduled for that.
Yeah. So if your park day ended around 4 o'clock and you went back to the hotel, were you at the hotel the rest of the night, or how did you have dinner?
Yeah. So what we did, my son was really in the mood to go to the pool there. He saw the water slide and was pretty excited. So, went back, changed into swimsuits, went to the pool, and then there's a little kids splash area around there. Did that for a while. And then we just had, dinner at the Contempo Cafe. There's a little quick serve restaurant on the concourse. And it was nice. He loved it, just being able to watch the monorail rolling by. So that was kind of it for that evening.
Yeah, I think Contemporary is hard to beat on dining options, because even the quick service is pretty nice. So,
yeah, and entertaining for the kids, too. And that definitely helps. So,
yeah. Okay. So you were roughly at Magic Kingdom for 6 hours or so, and then back for swimming and dinner. And that was the end of your day. So that's good.
Yep, and then my son was so excited by that little water pageant that we ended up, that was every night we would stay up and do that, and that's how he would end his day. So.
Oh, that's nice, though.
Yeah.
That could be a tradition. Maybe in the future you'll
watch
that every night together. okay, so what was your I assume, I have it written down that you did Crystal Palace. So was that your other Magic Kingdom day? That you did.
That was the other Magic Kingdom day.
All right, we'll get to that in just a minute. So what was your second park day after Magic Kingdom?
So on Monday, we went over to Epcot. And kind of the same thing. We got there around 10:30 or so. And we have the annual passes. So the first thing we did is we went over, there's one little area where they're doing these special pass holder magnets for the Flower and Garden Festival. So we went over and got those. And then, just kind of hit the rides around that area. So Figment, the Pixar animated film, which is actually really cute and nice. Yeah, we've never done that before. But, yeah, that was a nice way to spend 30 minutes. And both of the kids were entertained, so that was good. Of course, Finding Nemo, and then the aquarium area around there. And then I had timed it where I had a fast pass for the Living with the Land ride, I think at 1:05, and then I had lunch at the Garden Grill scheduled at 1:25. So that was kind of nice. So we did the ride, and I was kind of able to point up at the restaurant and show them, and kind of got a look at everything, and then we went straight to the lunch from there.
That is a great idea. Were you also, did you also have Soren plans while you're in the same building?
No, we didn't. That's another one. I want to get my son onto it. I took my husband on it one time and he didn't care for it. He had the thing with heights. So no.
Okay. So let's go back to the Garden Grill. How did that go for you?
It was wonderful. We absolutely loved it there. I just feel like as far as our character meals, that was the best one by a mile. And I think it was just a mix of the character interaction, you know, the characters were wonderful. The spinning restaurant, both of the kids loved, even the baby, you know, was constantly something, you know, sensory wise to look at. And then I thought the food was wonderful and it was easy for me to be able to actually just sit there, you know, instead of juggling a baby in a buffet and everything. So that was great.
It's no surprise to anyone listening that I totally agree with you because
but you it's nice. Gave us the idea.
Yes. Well, it's my favorite for a reason. And I don't travel with little ones anymore. So it's nice to hear from people that do that they liked it because, you know, obviously the characters and being able to sit without having the buffet is even more important to you guys.
Absolutely. The one thing I would add though, if anybody is thinking about bringing a baby in there, do not have the high chairs and there's no stroller access. So really the only thing that you could do is if you have a, you know, travel system with a little car seat that hooks in and out of the stroller, you would need to use that. Our daughter unfortunately equates the car seat to a medieval torture device. So, you know, we weren't even trying that. So I ended up holding her through the meal. It wasn't the end of the world, but, you know, just a heads up, if anybody has the, you know, the car seat and the travel system, that would probably be their best option with a baby.
Right. That's a good idea. What if you had do you have a carrier? Do you ever carry her in a carrier?
I do. I do sometimes. And I had actually had her in it for about an hour and a half already. So she was just kind of over it at that point, which I didn't blame her, but she ended up falling asleep in my arms and, you know, we're all moms. We learned to do things one handed. So it wasn't that big of a deal.
Yeah. And while you were at Epcot, after lunch, did you make your way to the World Showcase or did you mostly stay in Future World?
Yes, we did. So we did a lap around World Showcase, not as much shopping and stopping as I wanted to do. But, you know, we were able to kind of check out some topiaries and get some pictures and then stop at the Three Caballero ride in Mexico. My son loves that. So we did that.
Nice.
Yeah, and then after that, we finished up with a Spaceship Earth, and then the little interactive area after that, you know, was enough to let my son run around and do stuff for a while. And then we headed out at that point. We had thought about doing Illuminations, but that night it was pretty cold out, again, for us at least, as Floridians. And our daughter was getting a little tired, and we kind of had the feeling that wasn't going to go too well. So we went ahead and headed back to the resort.
So there was no Frozen Ever After in your plans?
No, there wasn't.
Okay. What did you end up using Fast Passes for? Did you do Spaceship Earth?
Spaceship Earth, the land, and Finding Nemo. And I felt a little ridiculous using it on Finding Nemo. But again, all week, actually, the surprise thing was the Fast Pass lines were longer than I've ever seen them. So when we did the Finding Nemo Fast Pass, I was glad we did. The wait time on standby, I think, was like 55 minutes at that point. And the Fast Pass line was all the way outside the door. So it ended up working out well for us. My son doesn't really have any interest in the Frozen Ever After, and my husband doesn't either. So I figure I'll wait till my daughter's a little older and use her as leverage to be able to do that a little more.
Yes, gotta plan ahead.
Exactly.
Okay, so that sounds like a good Epcot day for you guys. Mm-hmm. What was your third park day?
So Tuesday was Animal Kingdom. And so we had a little crimp in our plans at that point. And it ended up working out well, but our first ride that we had scheduled was, the Navi River, ride in Pandora. And then we had lunch immediately after that. So we got the kids all bundled up, got out to the bus stop and, had a diaper disaster. So a particularly bad one. So, she and I headed all the way back to the room, to take care of everything. And then by the time we got back to the bus stop, we must have just missed the next bus. So long story short, We weren't going to make the Navi River ride, and our lunch reservation was at 1 o'clock that day. We got to the bus stop at 12:29, and it said the next bus was going to be at 12:54. So I said, okay, we got a problem here. So I happened to think about it, and I had installed the Lyft app at the beginning of the trip. So, you know, I pointed out a picture of it to my son. I'm like, what do you think about riding in a mini minivan? And, you know, he was excited. It was like an attraction in of itself. Long story short, it worked out perfectly. So I had never even used Lyft or Uber before. So pulled up the Lyft app and requested the minivan. And literally it said it's 1 minute away. And I said, oh my gosh, it can't be that easy. But sure enough, they showed, you know, the little graphic of the van, you know, coming towards us. And sure enough, pulled right up. The driver was lovely. I watched him install the infant car seat, and he was great with it. So he got us loaded up and on our way. And so he dropped us off at Animal Kingdom before the bus was even due to arrive at the Contemporary. So, you know, $25. But in the grand scheme of things, I thought it worked out perfectly for us, and it really saved us with our lunch reservation.
Yeah, and you, your families like yours are the reason that that service is so valuable. Because, you know, you're not going to get into an Uber with your newborn. And, you know, it's just not going to happen. It doesn't feel as safe. And car seats are, you know, hit or miss and that kind of stuff. So I'm glad that that service is available and that you were able to use it, especially, you know, when you have snags in your plans like that.
Yeah, it was wonderful.
So you got to Animal Kingdom and you had lunch. You did not have your Navi River journey.
No, we didn't. And the crazy thing was that Animal Kingdom was far and away the busiest park that we visited our whole time there. So on the ride to Animal Kingdom, I started looking up and seeing what we could change the reservation to or the fast pass to. And there really weren't many choices that anybody was interested in. Primeval World, my son's dying to go on that. He's still too short. And Cali River Rapid Rides was it was a little cold out to that for that, to tell you the truth. So we ended up using it on the It's Tough to Be a Bug show. And I said, you know, whatever, let's just do that. So so that's the kind of the way that worked out. So we got there, and yeah, the crowds, it was just massive. We actually had our lunch reservation. I know it probably sounds silly to some, but we love it. But we did the Rainforest Cafe. There's nothing like it where we live. So, you know, it's kind of Disney-esque to us. Mm-hmm. So we did that. We enjoyed it very much. And then after that, we went to the Kilimanjaro Safari. And it was wonderful.
You had a fast pass for that?
Yeah. We had that planned for after lunch. So we were able to make that just fine. And it was great, you know. A little bit worried about midday from what I'd read, but there were still a lot of animals out and about. So that was great. You know, saw the lions, the painted dogs, cheetah and whatnot. And so that might be one of my favorite rides in all the parks, but that was great. So we got done with that, and then we did the little nature walk that's right there. I forget what it's called.
Right by the Kilimanjaro Safari. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we walked through that, and that was a nice way to, you know, just kind of relax and see things. And I'm trying to think. From there, it was over to – oh, we went actually went to Dinoland USA. My son, of course, that Boneyard playground area was a huge draw to him. And so we got there, we let him loose, and this is when I had to take a deep breath and say, okay, I need to be a little more flexible. He ended up playing on that area for like an hour and a half, and I just let him go. He was happy as a lark. You know, our daughter was snoozing in the stroller with me outside of the area, so it worked out good for us. After that, we walked through the Asia area, checked out all the animals through there, then went to the It's Tough to Be a Bug show, and I think by that point, it was around 6 o'clock, 6:30, so we headed back for the day.
Well, it sounds like your day started off you know, on a bad note just because you had some an unplanned emergency, but it ended up okay.
Yeah. It wasn't what we had planned exactly, but everybody was happy at the end of the day, so I couldn't ask for anything more than that.
Yeah, I always love when people say they stayed flexible, because your 7-year-old is going to remember playing in the boneyard. You know, it's fun. It's
so
fun.
Crazy.
It's fun to him, and he wore off some energy. Yes. So why not?
Absolutely.
Since you have been mentioning the high chair situation at every restaurant, how did the Rainforest Cafe do on high chairs?
They didn't, but they were okay with us bringing a stroller in, and I love it. They had a little area tucked in a corner behind the bar, and they said that's where they always see people that need the strollers, and it was nice because the tables were a little more spaced apart, if that made sense, so there was plenty of room to remove a chair and pull a stroller in, and it was a little bit quieter than the rest of the restaurant, so that actually worked out really well.
Okay, good to know. And so you went back to the hotel, you watched the electrical water pageant.
Yep. Very predictable.
Yeah, that was that. So if I'm not mistaken, you have another Magic Kingdom day and a Hollywood Studios day left in your plans.
Yeah. So what we did was on Wednesday, the next day, we actually did a quote rest day, but we went back to Chef Mickey's for breakfast that morning. So that's how we kind of started off. And I actually liked the breakfast buffet a lot more than the dinner. All of us did, actually, as far as the food choices. And, you know, we had the dining plan, and we'd never had that before. And our son wanted to do it, so we said, why not? So we did that for breakfast. And then straight from there, took a bus over to Disney Springs, and then spent the bulk of the day at Disney Springs just kind of shopping and checking everything out. And then that, we got back, took a nap, and then, Wednesday night we, went over to Whispering Canyon for dinner at the Wilderness Lodge. Mm-hmm. So we took a boat over, which the kids both seemed to enjoy, and, they loved, you know, the restaurant experience there, my son particularly. I thought the food was very good. So that was kind of a quiet Wednesday, you know, no real plans, but we still fit a lot of stuff in.
For people that are planning to take their family with little kids to Disney Springs, what were a couple things that you enjoyed while you were there?
So the Lego store, my goodness, I think I could have lost both my sonny and my husband in there for hours if I would have let them. So, you know, we started off in the, I believe they call it the marketplace side. Mm-hmm. Did that, look through the T-Rex, cafe or restaurant. They actually have a little play area out front, in a shop. So did that some, there's all kinds of, photo pass photographers at random points with random things. So got a lot of pictures in. The one thing I wanted to note about Disney Springs that was hard, I had planned on doing the bulk of my shopping at World of Disney. I've loved that store when we've been in the past. So the agreement was that my husband was going to kind of watch the kiddos so I could run in there and do some shopping. And I went in through the side entrance and noticed just a throng of people. But long story short, they have half of that building completely shut down for renovations right now. Mm-hmm. So the shopping opportunities was a lot smaller, not as much merchandise. And it was super, super, super busy. I was chatting with a cast member as I was checking out. She said that they're going to do the other half, she thinks, in May. And that's not the whole completion of the project wouldn't be done until approximately November. So just a heads up for anybody that gets excited about shopping like I do, it's completely different than normal there.
Yeah.
That's not a terrible thing, but just was.
Yeah. It's a good tip, though, because that's the main place that people go there for their souvenirs and stuff.
Yeah, definitely. But just a lot of browsing, you know, through the toy store. There's a Star Wars store set up now. Of course, Goofy's Candy Kitchen was a big hit. But just a lot of browsing and walking around and checking things out.
Yeah. Yeah, sounds lovely. So this was your break day.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had two more park days, I think.
Yeah, so Thursday was Hollywood Studios for us. We enjoyed it, but I don't know that we would want to spend a whole lot of time there as far as making a whole day of it until the new lands open up. Since neither my husband nor my son are into, you know, thrill rides, of course, that knocked out the Tower of Terror and Rock and Roller Coaster right away. So we had a fast pass for, Toy Story Mania, and the Disney Junior show. And that was the only two fast passes we actually used. So, we got there and I think the first thing we did was walked over to the Star Wars launch bay. They had the little parade going down the main street area, that had Captain Phasma and the Stormtroopers. So we watched that. We went to the Star Wars area, with the launch bay, spent some time kind of walking through, roaming around there. And then after that, it was lunchtime. So we did lunch at the, Hollywood and Vine.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was really cute. They had it set up with like a springtime, theme to it. So yeah, it was nice, you know, the classic characters again, but they had the little spring outfits on. I thought the food, I was a little worried. I think some of the reviews I've heard on your show and then also what I've seen online, wasn't super complimentary about the food, but we thought it was good. You know, it was definitely not any worse than it is Jeff Mickey's for dinner. So, a little bit crowded in there. And there also, you have to bring your stroller in, but they will let you bring your stroller in. So that helped.
Yeah, in my mind, Hollywood and Vine is similar to Chef Mickey's in that it's not, the food is okay, but it's really more about the characters and stuff.
Yeah, most definitely. Most definitely. And my son was thrilled with all of them, so that worked out well.
If I'm not mistaken, that was actually a Fantasmic package that you had there.
Okay, I'm glad you brought that up. Yes, so it was. So we did that, and yeah, the waitress immediately brought us the little three coupons for to go to the show afterwards. So we were planning on that. But from there we went to, the Toy Story Mania. We did that. We went to the Muppet 3D show and I could tell I was losing the family pretty quickly at this point. So, I stopped, let's see here. My son and my husband were shopping for toys, near the entrance area, that whole entry area, and so I took my daughter into the baby care center that was there and was changing her, and this was probably, I would say probably about 5:30 or 6 again, and I got to chatting with another mom that had like a toddler in there, and they were planning on staying for the night, and I asked her, you know, it was her and her husband and her toddler. I said, well, were you going to do Fantasmic? And she was. So I actually just gave her those passes. Mm-hmm. And you would have thought that she won the lottery. She was so excited about it. So I felt good about it. It didn't cost us anything. You know, at that point, I feel like it would have been a forced march to get everybody over there and to stay for the time. So we pretty much headed back home after that.
Yeah, that's nice, though, that it's nice to be able to gift somebody something as a surprise.
Yeah, so that worked out good.
Okay, so that was the end of your Hollywood Studios day, and you said you wouldn't go back until the new lands were open, but that's not too much longer, so.
Yeah, that's true, that's true. I don't know. I feel like maybe it's just not as good of a fit for our family right now, but there just wasn't a whole lot that was appealing to my son or to my husband.
Yeah, and the fact that they don't do thrill rides cuts out, you know,
yeah,
a couple of attractions.
Most definitely.
So. Okay, so you have Magic Kingdom left in your plan. So how did your last Magic Kingdom day go? And it's interesting, you started and ended at Magic Kingdom. So those were like your bookends.
Yeah, and that was kind of strategic, you know, to tell you the truth. I just, we love it so much, and it's just so traditional and growing up, you know, I would go to Magic Kingdom. My family would take us every once in a while just for the day. And I would always just dream of, you know, actually staying there on vacation. So it's just a sentimental thing for me. So we ended there. So, yeah, that morning we got moving a little bit earlier, which for us is like 9 o'clock. But
We went ahead and walked over there that time. And boy, it sure is an easy walk. The security line for pedestrians is basically non-existent, at least when we walked up. So it's very easy getting in and out of there. And then getting there at 9, of course, the crowds hadn't really started growing too bad yet. The first thing we did, we actually walked over and we had Dole Whips for breakfast.
Hey, you're on vacation.
Yes, it felt like the ultimate indulgence, made us happy. So while we were around there, of course, did the Jungle Cruise and then the Carpets of Aladdin. The Pirates of the Caribbean is closed, I guess, for right now. I don't know if they're refurbing it or what. So that was kind of sad, but we'll try and get that another trip. And then from there, we headed back over to Tomorrowland. And let's see here. There's the Monsters, Inc. Glass Floor, People Movers and Buzz. We did them again. I was surprised. We're going to do the little race cars, but my son didn't really seem very interested in that. So we were okay with that. And of course, the Dumbo area with the play area was a big hit.
Did he get wet? Did he get wet playing in that area, or the water play area over in that section?
No. We strategically kind of avoided that. We didn't go that far back, so that worked out well. You know, if it had been warmer out, you know, we would have been willing to do that. But it was still, for us, you know, in the 60s, so a little bit chilly.
Mm-hmm.
So from there, we walked over back towards the main street area, and we had a reservation for the Crystal Palace.
Mm-hmm.
And we enjoyed it a lot. It was beautiful in there, and the characters were wonderful. They were so cute, even with our baby, you know, taking the time to kind of play with her. The whole trip, it was pretty funny. She turned 4 months while we were there, and it felt like having a 4-month-old was like having a celebrity. Mm-hmm. We were constantly getting stopped by cast members and characters and whatnot wanting to play with her, so that was very sweet. The food, honestly, was probably our least favorite of any of the character restaurants we went to.
Mm-hmm.
Not a big deal, you know, we go to character restaurants for the characters, but yeah, it was just okay. But we spent a good while in there waiting for the characters to come around, so it was a good experience. And that was another one where you could bring a stroller in. It turned out the Chef Mickey's was the only place that had the infant high chairs, and it's kind of a shame. I guess there's not a huge demographic of people bringing in babies, but we saw others besides us, and they really were a lifesaver. I wish every restaurant there had them. Crystal Palace, the tables are so condensed and it's so mm-hmm. crowded. They told us that we could bring in our stroller, but I felt like it would be kind of a nuisance. So we just kind of held her while we ate, and that wasn't that big of a deal.
Mm-hmm. What did you do after that?
After that, I had a fast pass for the Winnie the Pooh ride. So we walked over there and went ahead and rode that. And then my son likes watching roller coasters. So it's actually kind of funny. We went across the way to watch the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. And right as we were watching it, it broke down. The poor people got stuck on it. And we walked past by there again probably 30 minutes later, and they were still on it. So they were having some troubles there. Yeah, so we walked back to Fantasyland and did a couple of the rides there again. And then what was after that? Yeah, and then from there, he had been really good about not going crazy, you know, with the toys, but he had a bunch of Disney gift cards that he'd gotten from family and from friends over the holidays. So at that point, we just kind of trailed him around and let him go to some of the different stores and pick out toys and souvenirs and that kind of stuff that he wanted to bring home. And then we went to the little store where you can get the mouse ears, the Mickey Mouse hats, and we got our daughter one and got that embroidered. We had an infant one for our son when he was little, so we wanted to do the same for her. So it was cute.
Those will be cute to save.
Most definitely. And we were able to get some cute pictures. Yeah, and we found some different PhotoPass photographers and got some family pictures. The other thing we had done is in November during our attempted vacation, my son had seen, you know, a lot of people with little matching Disney shirts and was excited about that. So I had ordered a bunch of those off of Etsy. So we made sure and stopped each day and, you know, got pictures in our little matching shirts. And that was cute. So.
Yeah,
so that was about it for that day.
So you mentioned beforehand that you got Memory Maker for this trip. So while you're talking about pictures, did you think Memory Maker was worth it for your family?
I do. And to tell you the truth, unless you're just not into pictures, I think it's worth it for every mom. I don't know how many vacations we have where I'll go back and look and I'm like, I was on that vacation, I swear. But, you know, you're the mom, so you're constantly taking pictures. So it was really lovely to have, you know, pictures of the four of us as a family. That was great. And then my son loved all the ride pictures, you know, that would automatically be taken. So, you know, I hear people on your show that get, you know, 300 pictures plus taken. We weren't anywhere around that. We were probably about 30 or 40, but what we got was absolutely wonderful. So I thought it was worthwhile. Wow, absolutely.
Okay, good to know. I'm glad that you thought it was worth it. Most people do seem to think it's worth it. I think if you get more than 15, it's financially, you know, it makes sense. But it's also the convenience of having somebody else to take your pictures.
Yeah, and that was kind of the theme for this entire week for us was just, you know, what is going to be convenient because we're going to have our hands full. And so, yeah, I definitely thought that worked out well.
All right. I assume that was probably the end of your day after you did some shopping and stuff at Magic Kingdom?
Yeah, that was it. And then we went ahead. Everybody was kind of tired at that point, so we just took the monorail back.
And what I have left on my list when I made notes was you have Early Morning Magic and Ohana, I believe.
Yeah, so Saturday was our last full day there. And so that morning we woke up and took the monorail over to Ohana's for breakfast, and really started drooling over the Polynesian. That's definitely on our wish list, you know, in the future to stay there. But yeah, Ohana's, it was nice. It was lovely. We had, our daughter, I had ordered off of Etsy a little Lilo dress for her. So, you know, she was a big hit there getting her picture with Lilo and Stitch and whatnot. The food was good. It's just something completely different. As we were leaving there down in the lobby, they had some Polynesian dancers and music. So we stopped and watched that for a bit. And that was a lot of fun. So we got done with that. By that point, it was noon. And we told our son, okay, you know, for the rest of the afternoon and evening, we can do whatever you want. What would you like to do? And he said he wanted to go play mini golf. I said, okay. So we actually, that was the first time we got in our car all week. That's one thing, my husband and I, we both have pretty long commutes back in real life to work every day. And that's part of the appeal of Disney for us is we normally will park the vehicle the first day and we are not touching it until it's time to go home. But we wanted to go to the Winter Summerland golf course. Mm-hmm. And at that point we figured let's just drive and do it. So we did and it worked out perfectly because our daughter fell asleep in the car seat, which is a minor miracle. And she kept sleeping in that thing. So we were able to hook her into the stroller and then played both courses there with him. And it was just some nice quality time with him, you know, where we could focus on him 100%. It's a cute golf course. The theming is really adorable. So we had a great time doing that. And then we went back to the resort. And by this point, that was the first day that it had warmed up. It was probably, you know, in the mid 70s, closer to 80. So he was excited to try the pool again because all week we hadn't been able to do that. So we went down and the main pool itself was absolutely ice cold. There's no way that it was heated. There had to have been some sort of issue. You know, we were talking to a couple that was from Idaho and they were freezing. So like, okay, that's not just us. But there's a little splash area near there, so we spent about an hour in the splash area. And then there's a smaller pool right by the dock, and we went up to it, and it was heated, and it was lovely. So we spent the rest of the day just in the pool, and there's a little restaurant bar area right there. So, you know, we were able to eat outside and watch the boats coming in and out and watch the sunset, and that was kind of it for that day. But it was very slow-paced but wonderful. But that got us thinking about it. And we're kind of judging ourselves for this, but we're kind of not. By this point, that was day 8. And we were tired. Our daughter, of course, you know, being in a strange place, did not sleep as well as she normally did. So, you know, we were up once or twice a night, and, you know, she was up for the day by 5:30 every morning. So I was up with her. You know, our son was starting to hit the wall. He'd been doing well, but it was, you could tell we were all getting a little bit tired. And so we chose Sunday morning to go ahead and skip the early morning magic that we had paid a good amount of money for.
Wow. Yeah.
Yes.
So did so you slept, like you left on Sunday, you just chose to skip early morning magic.
Yeah, we did. We did. My husband and I talked about it. My son, you know, we were hoping for some excitement from him, and he was still kind of ambivalent about it. And I couldn't get an answer from him on whether or not he was actually going to ride the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train with me. And everybody was just tired enough that I thought, okay, yes, I paid the money, but, you know, I could also pay the money and force them to go there and have a miserable time, or we could, you know, relax and enjoy our last, you know, time at the hotel. So that's what we did. And, you know, to tell you the truth, I kind of cringe about it, but I'm kind of glad we did, because, hallelujah, go figure, the last night, my daughter slept through the night and didn't get up until 7:30, which was a miracle for me. And it was lovely to have some sleep. So yeah, we got up, we had a leisurely breakfast. We went back out to the pool for a little while and, went ahead and packed up, our van and had everything ready. And, at that point we went back and had lunch at the Contempo. That was around noontime by then. And then we had 15 billion snack credits we had to use. So, got all kinds of stuff like that. And we left about 1:30, and it was a nice low-key ending. It made me happy because everybody was happy leaving, and, mm-hmm. and that's kind of the goal. So right. We kind of went with that.
That's sort of the point of the whole thing. Okay, so I'm glad that you figured out what worked for your family and you were able to end on a good note. You mentioned the snack credits, and you had the dining plan for your trip. So mm-hmm. did you made use of them clearly at table service restaurants, but overall, did you think it was worth it?
You know, my husband and I talked for probably 30 minutes on the way home about that, trying to figure that out. I'm going to say yes from the convenience side, but monetarily, we did 6 character restaurants, so I feel like we got our value with that. But when we went to check out, we had 18 snack credits and 6 quick serve credits still remaining. Yeah. So, oh my goodness, there's a little bakery, chocolatier area on the concourse. So our kitchen right now looks like a Disney World bakery. It's insane. So yeah, maybe not so much value added. What we found is that we thought we would have used the snacks a lot more when it was just the 3 of us. You know, it was nothing to, you know, get an ice cream cone and sit on a bench, you know, for 30 minutes and chill out and talk. But with our daughter, that's really not possible at this point. So I feel like in the future, it would be. And I was also thinking in the future, we probably will. Once she's eating, I could see where it would be a tremendous value for us. You know, up until the time my son is 9, because, you know, being able to share off of our plates and that kind of stuff, at that point we would probably be using it a lot more. So we're kind of on the fence if we'll do it again or not.
Yeah, and then once your son hits 10, then you're paying adult rates, and 10-year-olds don't eat adult amounts most of the time. So
no. And for macaroni and cheese and chicken nuggets, which is his main staples, yeah, there's no way. But, you know, up until the point that he's 9, so we've got, you know, 2 more years of that, you know, her being a toddler and under the age of 3, I could definitely see where there would be value in it.
Yeah. So that sounds like a successful trip with a newborn, which is a special challenge.
Yes, it was better than I was. It was what I was hoping for. You know, I kind of went up and back and forth on it up until the point we were pulling up to the gates. You know, I'm thinking this might have been a completely terrible idea. And there were times that we were fatigued and, you know, there were challenges, but I will say what helped with us is that we had been before, and we have plans to go again. I think if this was like a one-time trip, it wouldn't have been the best idea. But, you know, our son did not go into this trip with the idea that this is your one and only chance to do all the things. Otherwise, it probably would have been a little harder for him to understand why we were going to skip Fantasmic and, you know, things like that.
That is a luxury. If you know you're going back, you don't, it's mm-hmm. less, it's less pressure to
make. Most definitely. Make.
I thought our first trip was going to be a one and done thing. Clearly it was not. but it did make it more stressful because, you know, it was like, oh, we got to do this because we spent a lot of money. We got to fit this in. And really it would have made more sense to skip a few things to keep the peace.
Yes, most definitely. Yeah. So it was a luxury in that sense, knowing, okay, this should not be the end for us. So, yeah.
Well, I appreciate you remembering so much detail and being able to share that, because I'm sure it'll help a lot of people, particularly with newborns and with kids that are far apart in age, like yours are.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And then the one other thing I was kind of taking notes on for anybody that's traveling there with infants is the those baby care centers are just a lifesaver. When you need, if you want a quiet space to nurse, if you just want a very nice changing area for the babies, or if you just need a little bit of peace and quiet, I utilized all four of them. I found them to be vastly different in terms of size and amenities, really. But they were all kind of wonderful just to take her and get a little break, to step out. So those are something I would highly recommend as well.
Yes, good tip. Good tip. It's worth it to seek those out.
Yes.
All right. Well, thank you for joining, Laura. I appreciate it. And I think your trip report is going to help other people.
Okay, awesome. Thanks so much for having me.
I hope you enjoyed that trip report. As always, I do have a quick tip. This one was emailed in by Diego. He says, Disney's parks are huge, and for a person that goes 2 times a year, you know it like the palm of your hand, but if it's your first time, it's like a maze. And sometimes a map doesn't give enough information or a ground level view that will help you not feel lost in the parks and wandering without much direction. Same applies on how to get from the parking to the entrance, how to move inside the hotel. So this quick tip is to virtually navigate the parks at ground level using Google Street View, or jump between nearby 360 photos in Google Maps or the ground level view on Google Earth and move around the park so you know them before going. Yeah, so this is a good tip. You can download Google Earth, or you can use Street View when you're viewing Google Maps, to where it looks like you're walking in the parks and you can kind of see how things relate to each other, how far apart they are, that kind of thing, which is easier than looking at a flat map. So I appreciate that, Diego. I think that'll wrap up this episode. For more information on this, you can look in the show notes for links of things that were discussed, or you can go to the website, click on podcast at the top, and look for episode 170. Until next time, I'll see you on the site.